Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
Hello.
Did you like that pause?
It's like the old Larry Johnson free throws.
No. Yeah, that's what it was.
Had that weird hitch.
That's what I was thinking. It's like the pause at the top of my golf swing.
Do you take a little?
I'd try.
A little break?
I'd try. You got it, man. You got to slow down. It's all about tempo. I was just
one,
out there today.
Two, three. Yeah, you look like you're coming from the range.
Yeah, I practiced a little bit. I'm back into it. Took several weeks off. Now I'm ready to get it cranked up again.
Ready for the Rob Slam next year?
Just in time for the bad weather.
Yeah, work in the off season.
But
here.
You know, when you get to top.
I guess there is no off season here in the Northwest.
Well, not really. I mean,
you can play year round. It's crappy, but you can play.
But you can't. Well, it's not always crappy, but you can't post scores year-round. So our season ends here, I think, December 1, and then kicks back up in March. If you must know, that is how it works. And, yeah, so listen, when you get to the top, man, when you get all the way up there, you get all the way back there, you get that shoulder turn, you really gotta just wait.
Pause for effect.
Yeah.
Let people admire.
Have you seen
the greatness that is?
Hey, here's more golf. There is, I was watching a PGA golf tournament one time.
Mm-hmm. I think you do that from time to time.
And Hideki Matsuyama, you know, is PGA Pro.
Yes.
And then who was the other guy? I think it might have been like Ricky Fowler. It was Tony Finau. They overlaid their golf swings and they started their golf swings at the same time. And Hideki Matsuyama was still at the top of his golf swing when Tony Finau had already hit the ball.
Was done.
And I want to be like Hideki Matsuyama. I want to slow down.
You want to savor it, right?
It's just tempo.
You don't
want
to rush your way through it.
Tempo, baby.
Although Tony seems to be doing just fine.
Well, they both are great.
Well, it's one of those things. The golf swing and the baseball swing, it's amazing because you're all trying to do the same thing, and yet there's 1,000 different ways to get there.
Yeah. Well, my way.
It's not working so much.
It's a work
right
in
now.
Progress.
I think that's okay. I think that's 99.9% of everyone that's ever picked up that silly game.
That's right.
It's a work in progress.
That's right.
Tiger, arguably is the greatest of all time, tore down his swing, what, 3 times?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, and rebuilt it.
More golf. Do you want more golf?
No, I don't want
more
golf. Yes,
let's go.
No.
Are you ready?
No.
Check it.
I'm checking out.
Now I got one more thing. One more thing.
It was my fault for bringing up Tiger Woods.
Yes, it was.
Damn it.
Tiger has a memoir coming out.
Oh, that's going to be completely uninteresting because he won't be honest about it.
I don't know about that.
I don't think he's, I don't know. He doesn't seem like the real introspective type. That's willing to put the goods out there. If he's willing to write about himself and actually take it seriously.
Well, he says he is.
Then I think it'd be interesting, but I have my doubts.
Sports pants tightening over here.
Well, again.
It's going to be called Back, just B-A-C-K back, because he's had multiple back injuries.
And that's my thing. I don't want this, because some biographies are, it's just, they're very self-serving, right? And others actually lay bare and kind of take you through the life and the process and you know the stumbles along the way. And I think it'd be fascinating if he actually talked about what it was like growing up with a very dominating father who, you know, for both better and worse, laid out his life for him. And I'm sure obviously a ton of positive came from that, but there was also a lot of negative that came along.
But here's what he says. It's not about his childhood. Here's what he says. He says, I've been in the spotlight for a long time, and because of that, there have been books and articles and TV shows about me, most filled with errors, speculative, and wrong. This book is my definitive story. It's in my words and expresses my thoughts. It describes how I feel and what's happened in my life. I've been working at it steadily.
Yeah, I don't know. Count me as...
Well, you wouldn't read it anyway, but I'm going to read it. And I'll report back as to whether it's authentic or not.
Is he really going to talk about the five iron to the face? Is he going to talk about the women and the pills? And if you're doing that and you're going to be honest about it, sign me up. But he doesn't seem like the type that would do that.
All right. Do we have a Freudian slip in Mike's Sports North there moments ago?
What happened?
Did you catch it?
No, I did not.
Mike reported that three Oregon Ducks have been added to the midseason all-pro team.
First off, I didn't know there was an all-pro college team. Is that what they call it, or is it?
No. Yeah, it was the midseason AP all-pro team.
All-pro? You mean, is it like
it's not all-pro, because they're not pros. No. That's the thing. It's the Freudian. AP is Associated Press, first of all. But all-pro is what they call the NFL.
Yeah.
Pro bowlers, so, all-pro.
So is this
is it all-American? Did I just slip all-pro?
It would be all-American. You Freudian slipped!
Well, pro bowl is different than all-pro.
Yeah, I know, but the all-pro team.
That's the one that matters.
Is like.
That's the one that has the biggest honor.
Yeah, but then the pro bowlers go and play in the game.
Sure.
But all-pro is not a college term. And I'm sure the NCAA is on the horn with our boss, Jeff Austin, right now.
As long as he didn't do the let's get ready to you-know-what, then you'd have to deal with Michael Buffer and the NCAA.
Yeah, that's trademarked.
Yeah. Can't be doing that. But you may have an Outland Trophy winner on your Oregon Ducks who made the all-pro or all-American, whatever the hell team you want to call that. He's one of the best tackles in America, if not right now the best tackle, is a true sophomore.
Well, Mike's probably
what's happening?
Mike's probably a little rattled right now as his New York baseball Yankees are losing to the Astros in a delayed game in the fifth inning.
Yeah, I guess the umpire took a couple off the old face, and so now they're calling.
I'm not sure what they're doing because I don't have the sound on, but I'm assuming there's a backup somewhere. I just think he probably has to get to the stadium.
Wait, what?
There's just some guy sitting around like in his apartment. And they're like, "Hey, we need you."
No, so this is just my guess, but there's another member of the crew who was in New York doing replay. So I wonder if he is going to come to the stadium to give them their full umpiring crew.
Now, during a regular season, don't they just go with one umpire short, but because it's the postseason, they don't want to do that?
No, they usually go. There's usually somebody in the back ready to go.
I always thought there was a backup.
There's always a backup.
Because I always, for whatever reason.
I just don't know why it took so long if there was a backup at the stadium.
I thought you could go with.
Maybe they had to go find him.
He was drinking.
He's bellied up.
He's down at Kells. They're like, hey.
They're like, God, I've never gotten the call ever. I've done 500 games.
Well, think about that. I was.
And now
that,
they want me.
Like the guy that's on missile watch at NORAD, right? He's been sitting there for 25 years waiting for something to happen, and it never does. And then he falls asleep, and that's the time where the bomb gets dropped. Can't fault that guy. Like you're sitting around actually thinking that Enrico Palazzo is going to go down. You're going to have to come in and ump.
Well, they've restarted. And the Yankees continue to lose.
Yeah. And neither pitcher, by the way, Severino or Cole, have looked particularly sharp.
It's a frustrating game for a Yankee fan, I think.
Well, seven or eight left on base?
Seven left on base. You had the bases loaded in the first. Got a first pitch ground out to Gregorius, or by Gregorius. You had two on with two outs in the second. Judge struck out. Clean third inning. And then in the fourth, you had two on.
Two out and then LeMahieu.
And two out and LeMahieu. Hit a deep fly ball to center, but just missed it.
Yeah.
Do you hate first pitch outs in big spots?
Yes.
Doesn't that make it worse?
It's a little frustrating. Yeah, because you're like, oh, this is it. And then you don't even get to like enjoy one pitch. The suspense.
One damn pitch.
Like, really?
Didi. And your name's Didi.
Although LeMahieu at least caught up with 98 up around the chest because the first two were nasty.
Well, good little ball game. 2-0. Top of five. They got the backup ump out there. I'm sure he'll suck. And then that will be a.
Well, the ump is the second base umpire who moved to home.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I don't know who the other guy is who they brought in, if they brought someone in. But because remember, they have extra umps. They got one down the left field line and one down the right field line. So maybe they're just going without one.
That's
who knows?
I don't know.
Mask or not, taking a couple fouls off the old dome probably doesn't feel that well.
Mm-mm.
Get a little rattled.
Yeah, these guys take a lot of balls off the face.
Yes.
You know?
Amongst other places.
Yeah, yeah, like.
Yeah.
The chest.
Oh, yeah. And every now and then you see one right in the fun basket. That happens.
Ball on ball crime.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, there's a little sports. Today, Jamboree, 4 o'clock, college football. I think we have crystal ball audio, do we not?
I believe we do.
Is that right?
I'm editing it right now.
Yeah.
As well as Peterson audio.
Aha!
Oh, Chris Peterson, too.
Yes.
You want to hear what he says?
Not
about
really.
The big game?
Not really, but let's do it anyways.
No? You don't care?
Hopefully he gives me something halfway decent.
Yeah, probably not.
Chris Peterson plays it very, 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 very close to the best.
The Roo is at 4. We have Coming up a little bit later, LeBron is now a communist, and so we have audio of that.
I do enjoy that, like, this is the thing that's going to derail him. Like, he's taken some criticism before, but this one, this is kind of a universal you sleazebag. I mean, he had a choice to make, and he clearly chose the Chinese giving him lots and lots and lots of money. Although, to be fair to LeBron, man, you got to get Space Jam 2 out in China, right? That's a $500 million deal.
Not wrong.
No.
You're not wrong.
No.
What do you think what do you think China means to him, bottom line?
Probably $1 billion.
$1 billion, like a year?
No, or no, overall? No. I just think overall that relationship is worth $1 billion to him. Hmm.
Well,
absolutely.
There's why he said what he said.
Exactly.
But we have the audio. We have the exclusive audio. You've not heard this anywhere else.
Which is why I can sit up here and say that what he did was crappy, and you know, it's selfish and you know, it's not really defensible. But
just shut up.
If you told me that I had $1 billion on the line, I might go against one of the GMs as well.
It is.
It's just really hypocritical because he took such a hardline stance against the government and the powers that be in our country.
But it's on brand for LeBron because LeBron
cares about LeBron.
Is only about LeBron.
Yes.
And he's also not that bright. Those are the two things I've always thought about LeBron.
See, and I don't. I actually think he's a pretty smart,
if he were smart,
and thoughtful individual.
He would have handled that way better. But really? He's taking a lot of heat today. So we'll get to that. That'll be in the 5 o'clock hour. And, some other stuff. Hey, Oregon Lottery scoreboard app is tomorrow. Did you know that?
Well,
that's what they're saying.
We'll see.
Tomorrow, Wednesday.
We'll see. Yeah.
Like Christmas. Mm-hmm. Get out that debit card.
And I was in a lockdown today.
Where?
Yeah, at a high school.
On the freeway?
High school.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a situation. Oh. I had to hunker in.
What happened?
I was speaking at a school. Don't ask me why. I'm trying to ramp up my TED Talks. I was speaking to a science class.
Do you do that for free?
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Yeah, it's like if I'm speaking to an entire school, then that's a little bit different, but someone reached out to me and they wanted to speak to a science class because who better
science
to educate the science bros of the world?
What
and
was
gals,
your, what was the,
I think they saw my,
what was the theme?
I think they saw my Twitter header, which is Sergeant Thunderfist MD, and assumed that I had some sort of medical degree. And so away we go. Actually, my degree is in medicine. So
didn't we brand you local radio funny man?
Yes.
Can we now brand you local radio science guy?
I would think so. Yeah, I did that.
So what did you talk to them about?
They were doing a, I don't know what they call it, like a pod or whatever. They were doing a section on like traumatic brain injuries and like CTE.
Oh.
So he asked me to come in and talk about my experiences.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, sure. Yeah, I'll come in and do that. And in the middle of it, about 20 minutes in, we got hey, we need to lock down the school, turn off your lights, and the kids are like, whatever. And then, you know, the teacher was like, yeah, no,
whatever, like they have them all the time?
Well, yeah. And then
so they're like, oh, God, here we go again.
But then the lady came on the horn and said, this is not a drill. And you could tell that her voice, it changed. And I looked over at the teacher and the teacher was like, yeah, they don't ever say that. So my first instinct was there's a door to the outside and my car was right outside. I'm like, yeah, nuts to this, right?
I'm out.
Yeah, there was a real, like,
nice.
I had this moment where I'm like, hey, nuts to you guys, I'm out of here. And then he goes, hey, these are steel doors. They're pretty good. He goes, I'm not going to obviously stop you from leaving, but he said something to the effect of, we don't want the kids to panic. And I was like, damn it. And so then we had to stay in and, like, they closed posters and stuff over the windows and the doors and lockdown and all that. And for about 15, 20 minutes, it was
posters. Like you got to go into the closet and get posters and put them over the window,
put them over the windows and everything. Oh, lockdown, lights off, no cell phones.
What happened?
I guess the high school shares a parking lot with like a different, like an alternative high school. And the situation was in that school, but it shared a parking lot. And there was a rumor that a kid had a gun. I don't know. But the kids in school are, you know, they say, hey, put your cell phones down. No, the kids were all over it. And they had photos of the SWAT team out there arresting someone in the parking lot. And so I don't know what exactly that kid got arrested for or who it was. But
maybe this will make in the news.
I don't know. It was a whole thing, though. And I'll tell you, it was kind of a moment, man. I've never been in that. I was like, oh, it's a drill. No, it's not a drill. And then the teacher being like, yeah, they don't do that. There was certainly a moment where I was like, oh, crap. Like I took off my jacket and was like, well, if we got to, You got to do something. It was kind of surreal.
Well, but so far, your noted newsman has no word of this.
Yeah. Evergreen High School. But so I guess it didn't happen at Evergreen. It happened at whatever, the Liberty or something. There's like an alternative high school, I guess, that sits right behind it. And it happened there. And because it shares a parking lot and there was a threat of a gun or whatever, that they locked that school down too.
Well, it's great to know you almost fled the scene.
I thought about
it. Like a coward.
Yeah, there certainly was my first instinct. You know what was weird, though, was how the kids have been conditioned to just...
They're just like, this is a Tuesday around here.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I was bummed out about that. You know, the teacher was like, I guess not too long ago, someone brought a shotgun and the school got locked down and they saw police running through the hallways. And I was like, people freak out. And he's like, actually, he goes, the kids are pretty calm about it now. And I was just like, that sucks that the kids have been conditioned that they're like, whatever, lock the doors.
What a time to be alive.
Turn off the lights. But for me, first time in lockdown.
Nice.
No, I did not OJ it out into the parking lot, but that thought certainly did cross my mind. When your car is right there, you can see your car. It's kind of counterproductive to survival to then stay in the building, right?
Well, I would have been preparing to be a hero.
Well, I did. Oh. I did not want panic.
Okay. Well, our first topic today.
And I could say, hey, I can fit 5 or 6 of you in the truck. Let's go. Pile in. Come on. We're out of here. Go to Wendy's. Get some of those spicy nuggets.
Our first topic today is Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Lions played the Packers.
Bit of a...
I'm pissed.
Are you?
Yeah, because we're down to... So there were 510 in our survivor pool.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to 79.
Ooh.
And several people, had Green Bay. So I was really rooting for Detroit to win that.
The Lions find ways to be the Lions.
Boy, they sure
They're
do.
Like the new Chargers.
They're unbelievable.
But it's, I mean.
It's like the most Lions thing ever, but you're right. It's not their fault. That's why we talk about it.
But it is. 5 field goals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
score
I'm talking
touchdown,
about.
Touchdown, Lions.
But that nobody cares about that. We're talking about the officials. And that's where we start next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, today's AAA heating and cooling poll question is at 1080thefan.com. As always, AAA heating and cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Yesterday we asked you, who do you think will be winless in Seattle on Saturday? And 41% of you say Washington will be winless. Will Darkens, 32%, and Oregon only 27%. Of course, we are the Duck Station, so that... Yeah,
my guess is if you took that up in Seattle, that poll would be slightly different. Although, I don't know how either fan base, to be honest with you, feels particularly good about this game. I mean, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague coming in, and they had Softy on. He brought up a very valid point, which, you know, is a bit of a shocker because he normally just yells and screams about Seattle stuff. But he said the best thing that either team really has to hang their hat on is probably the first three quarters at Auburn, right? I mean, there just hasn't been a whole lot that's overly impressive. It's been lesser competition. You know, Oregon's defense has been lights out. I'd say that the Oregon defense, the performance against Colorado was really good. But I mean, this is going to be, outside of that Auburn game, by far the biggest test for either one of these teams. And I mean, this is a season defining game for both programs. And I think Oregon probably feels a little more confident going into this, but I don't think you're going on the road up there thinking that this is going to be some sort of cakewalk for you. I think both squads and fan bases probably have a little bit of nerves and trepidation when it comes to this one.
Today at 1080thefan.com, how is poor officiating impacting your NFL viewing experience? And there are three options on there for you. One is so bad I want to turn it off. Another is sucks, but I can get over it. And a third option.
Will Darkens?
About as little as Will Darkens played in college. In other words, not much.
I'm squarely in the middle of those two.
Sucks, but I can get over it.
Well, it doesn't make me want to turn off the games. I still enjoy it, but it is very frustrating when games are being decided. And just off the top of my head, I can think of 4 this year alone that have been directly impacted. And when we can go back to last year where there was a Super Bowl participant that was decided on a horrific call. But I mean, last night, I mean, that directly led to Green Bay winning that football game, with two, especially one at the end, the NFL has now admitted was a horrific call. The roughing the passer penalty earlier this year with Pittsburgh and Cleveland was a horrific call. I mean, it seems like every week now we can point to two or three of these things that are happening at key moments in the game that are clearly blown calls and they're affecting outcomes. And that's very frustrating, but it's not going to stop me from watching, but it does, you know, it impacts what you perceive as the fairness or the rightful winner of that game.
Well, that game was particularly bad.
Yeah.
And it does suck when, especially because gambling is becoming legal now,
mm-hmm.
and you get stuff like that that really does change the outcome of the game, because it did. Like, I don't like to be a hyperbole guy about officiating. It's like there's so many different plays and so many different things in a game that affect the outcome of a game. It's never one thing. That, in particular, that game last night, Lions-Packers, was decided by the officials. The Lions would have won that game.
Yeah, so I go back to the other one that popped into my head was that Chubb from Denver. And I'm trying to remember, was that Cleveland that was involved in that one too, where he had the sack and they called it, they called him for roughing, even though he barely fell down on him. And that went from what would have been a fourth down to directly led to a touchdown. I mean, there's multiple ones of these. And when they happen at the end of the game like that, then they're really glaring. It doesn't mean that they don't happen early in the game, but when they happen in those key moments, like what happened last night.
That was the Bears.
Is that the...
Yeah, the Chubb game.
Was that the Bears?
That allowed Trubisky and the Bears to beat Denver 16-14.
On a field goal, yeah.
On a field goal.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
Or else Mike's Broncos would be 3-3.
Yes, who, once again, I continue to say aren't that bad. But yeah, it sucks. And, you know, the NFL can come out, and they did. Troy Vincent came out today and said that they blew it, but it doesn't make the Lions feel any better because they still have a loss
on them. I just think it's weird because it just feels different. They're just terrible this year. I mean, I get the controversy over, like, you know, PI and, you know, subjectivity and this and that, but good God, it seems like, separate of PI or even like roughing the passer, they are making just horrific calls. Like, they've never used to be this bad. And I know we had Joey Harrington on Friday and he was like, well, you know, they've muddled the game so much for officials that maybe they're a little, they're just a little gun shy, or there's too much going on in their head now because we want perfection. But I just, God, some of these calls are so awful. Like, I can't stand Booger McFarland. I think he's terrible.
Agreed.
However, last night he was right about the hands to the face stuff. That Trey Flowers got called for that twice. And that is so frustrating Booger is right.
On the second one that was the ultimate ended up being the deciding factor in that game, you could have made the argument, well, I will make the argument, that the hands to the face was the other way around. It was from the tackle to Trey Flowers.
Yeah, it just the official was at a bad angle, and it looked like hands to the face, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
And then the first one, he caught his helmet, like, right at the last second, but that's not hands to the face.
No,
I mean,
not.
Even I know that.
No.
So it's just really, really, really frustrating. And then there was a PI that looked like they would have called it a PI that was a no call on the Lions receiver, but yet... Then Patricia doesn't review it.
But because those things aren't getting overturned. There was one in the New England game last week, which was about as bad as you could conceivably have. I mean, it was blatant. There was so much PI that it was a no-brainer. And yet they reviewed it, they challenged it, and it was found to be not so. They're not overturning those calls. So at this point, just this idea of challenging the pass interference thing, unless it's the Saints... And unless it's the Rams, they're not calling that. Like, they are not going to overturn those.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably why he didn't review it.
Yeah.
You know, but
by just looking at it like, dude, if we're getting ones that are so blatant and they're not overturning them, I'm not going to go ahead and throw the flag on that.
I also don't understand why, if PI is now reviewable, why can't hands to the face then be reviewable?
I don't know. Well, I mean, well, this is the whole Pandora's box thing that we were talking about last year, that, you know, where does it end? But.
Well, Belichick thinks everything should be reviewable, and I half agree with him.
Well, but then you're going to get into this. I don't know.
It's already getting bad, so there is an argument against that.
The only thing you could do is if you're going to allow the PI to be challenged, then you only get one or two, and you hold it in your hip pocket for the end of the game.
I can't even imagine.
Really bad, right? I'm for that. As long as there's not more challenges, right? You only get the two, either one per half or whatever you want to slice it up. And you better make sure that you hold on to one for the end of the game for something like that to have it be thrown.
And controversial calls are going to happen.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they're happening far more egregious calls, like total misfires.
And someone, you know, I thought this is an interesting idea too. If it continues like this, should you start talking about changing the consequences? You know, making them less yardage and not automatic first downs, right? Like a hands to the face, do you start making more stuff 5 yards and not automatic first down?
Well, and why would – because
you know,
it's less penal when they screw up?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd have to think about that. I don't know, man. I mean, I think they got it right in terms of – just the officials got to stop throwing the effing flag so much. Look, well, there's going to be bad calls. Okay, I get that. But – good grief, when you watch the game, the real problem here is when you sit down and watch the NFL, you have that feeling, and this is a general statement, but you have that feeling every time a big play happens. Let's say it's 3rd and 15, huge play of the game, and your team that you're rooting for gets it.
There's you
hold your breath
for the laundry,
waiting for that little yellow flag graphic to come up on the score, and that is a problem for this league. They cannot, they've just got it. They have psyched people out with throwing so many flags. I saw a stat that said the first 6 weeks of the NFL, they've thrown 184 more penalties than this time last year.
Well, and at the beginning of the year, I know the holdings were really, really up. And now the last couple of weeks, I actually haven't seen the last week or two, but I know like the first 3 or 4 weeks, it was ridiculous. And then they had scaled it back a little bit because, you know, someone went into a meeting with the official and was like, all right, guys, I get it. We told you to emphasize holding and not this much. And that's the weird part is it's, a holding call isn't a holding call, right? The NFL is aware that you can't have all of these flags. And so it's like this ever evolving, breathing organism that the NFL is trying to find the right balance. And it does feel like right now it is not in balance. And even when stuff is clear, like the Packers touchdown at the pylon, it was short. Like you just, like everyone that watched that, he didn't get in. He was on his ass. The ball was short. And when we can all see that at home and then it still ends up being a touchdown, it's just, it's bewildering. It's almost as if the technology has gotten so good that it's just, it's, maybe it's impossible to get it right on the field enough for us to be satisfied because we can see it so clearly on replays with HD.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it's reasonable to understand that there are going to be errors, but it's just egregious right now. And everybody knows it. Everybody's talking about it. And that's a problem. The NFL's got to clean that up.
It does stink that seemingly every Monday, or in this case on Tuesday, I think more often than not, there is a game or two that is decided, a big game, a division game, that has playoff implications. And this is what we're talking about. Right? We're not talking about the Packers. We're not talking about the Lions. We're not talking about Stafford or Aaron Rodgers. What are we talking about? We are talking about the officials. And by the way, Mike may have a heart attack because that looked like it was going to be a home run, and it stopped about a foot short.
Let's go to Yankee Mike. Hey, Yankee Mike, what happened?
Hello.
I thought that was gone. Like, I just looked up on the on I saw Mike stand up and put his arms up, and I'm like, oh, Yankees hit a home run, and no.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
Mike, okay? Can we talk about your roller coaster Mike of emotion that just happened over the last 3 seconds?
Well, it was two on, two out again. Cole giving up base runners.
Damn.
And Didi was up again, and first pitch swinging again. And he hit a fastball just a little too high, and it was it died at the warning track. Looked like a home run off the bat for 3-run shot that would have given them the lead.
Isn't that supposed to be a short porch out there?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a fan box, but
warning
no
track power?
No.
Oh, Mike, I'm so sorry.
I love and hate baseball in the playoffs.
I hear you. They've now stranded 9 in 5 innings.
Yes.
Against Garrett Cole,
who has five walks today.
You are getting people on base, and yet you can't make them pay. And that's
at least it's still 2-0. Could be way worse. Severino wasn't great today, but
yeah,
they're
hanging in there.
Let's get Cole out of the game. He's at 90 pitches now, so let's get him out.
All right,
maybe one more inning.
All right,
boop.
Exciting times.
And back to this, someone did correctly point out, and I don't know if you watched it, but it was brutal. There were 6 flags thrown on the last Cowboys drive against the Jets.
Yeah,
I mean it just.
Six.
Yeah, six in one drive. And you're just like, and there are times where you're like, the officials, it, and I know it's not, I'm not buying into the Tim Donaghy thing, but there are times like with the Cowboys last drive, I remember thinking that. And last night, isn't there a moment where you're like, well, clearly they want Green Bay to win, or clearly they want the Cowboys to win. And that's not a good thing. It's, just, it's not a good thing for the sport when you're it's getting so bad when that is popping into your mind on a regular basis.
It's also very Lionsy though, like to make those plays.
Yes.
Like they're the king of that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, you get the stop. You have effectively won the game. And they pulled a D Ford or whatever.
Yeah,
like they
jumped
just,
off sides.
They did the only thing you can't do is get a penalty, and they did it like three times.
There is the Lions are the best team in the NFL that you should have zero faith in.
Boy, there's a lot of teams like that, though.
Yes, but there is none worse right now than the Lions.
2-2-1
Yes, and the Lions are good. That is a playoff team that could actually be dangerous if they find a way to get in. But they're in a meat grinder of a division, and they may find themselves on the outside because of the Cardinals game and then the debacle that was that one.
Okay, we're done bitching about that. Nothing we can do, right?
No.
We'll keep watching.
I mean, the NFL said they screwed up, and then they're like, all right, well, you take the loss anyways.
Hey, Scranton Strong is back. News for you.
Believe me, I saw this. Is no one's going to watch this crap.
Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have our Jamboree. Talk about college football. We have audio of Chris Peterson and Mario Cristobal and one Pac-12 school that has implemented a social media ban. But one other thought from last night before we get to the smoking hot XFL, which had its big draft today. But Aaron Rodgers' receivers suck so bad. You know, he's 35 years old, that guy. And they finally have a good defense. They're 5-1. It is criminal if by the trade deadline, which is in like 3 weeks, they don't get him help, because there are guys out there like AJ Green and some other guys that they could go get for him. They're in a window, man.
Yeah, I go back. Well, I mean, Adams being out certainly hurts because he's a big time player. And so when he comes back, that'll help. But this goes back. Remember when Randy Moss was on the market, and they ended up, you know, Randy Moss ended up going to New England, and I know it didn't lead to a Super Bowl, but it led to a perfect season and a damn near one. And I know there was a lot of frustration, you know, at that point that Green Bay didn't go out and try to make a splash, that they have not been very active in free agency. And I've talked to a buddy of mine who's a big Packer fan, and we've had this discussion multiple times, that I do think that Green Bay has fallen into the trap with Favre and Rodgers, where I just don't think they did enough. There wasn't a sense of urgency, and there was almost this sense of, we can try to fill the holes other places because Favre and Rodgers will bail us out. And I just don't think they've done a good enough job with two generational quarterbacks putting enough around those guys. I mean, both won a Super Bowl, but to be honest with you, Green Bay should have more. And I do. I think that they've wasted a lot of Aaron Rodgers, and it isn't good enough right now. I'm with you. Quit trying to save up draft capital. Go out and make a play
for
someone. You've got an elite defense that's going to keep you in every game.
He is not getting any younger.
No.
And
go get him a big play receiver to put alongside Adams when he comes back.
When they won the Super Bowl, they had like Greg Jennings, right?
Yeah.
Was he their main guy?
There was Jennings, and I think Donald Driver might have been on that squad
as well.
He
had good receivers. See, it's one thing I was about to say, based on winning a Super Bowl. Sometimes winning a Super Bowl is horrible because then it goes to their head, right? That's like Jerry wins Super Bowls way back when, and he thinks, oh, I can do that again. Well, he hasn't, and he hasn't even come close. And maybe with Rodgers winning a Super Bowl with the Packers, they're like, oh, well, you know, we've already won one, and it was really about that Super Bowl was really a lot about Aaron Rodgers, but also their defense.
So they had,
I remember B.J. Raji was a beast in that.
He was, and they had that was Clay Matthews, and they had A.J. Hawk, and was it Desmond Bishop,
so the linebacker
from
Cal.
But their offense, I actually looked up their starting offense. They had Greg Jennings, they had Donald Driver, they had Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, see, come on.
Yeah, that was
they were good.
They were good.
So I was going to say, what I was going to say is maybe them winning a Super Bowl without much help around him spoils them, and they're like, well, he done it once, he could do it again. But no, he had a bunch of good players and good receivers around him. And, oh, by the way, you won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah.
How about you repeat that?
Yeah. And
because their defense is good this year.
They should have won they should have beat the year that the Seahawks lost to the Patriots. They should have two Super Bowls. So to be fair to them, they built a roster that was good enough that year, or they played well enough. How they lost that game against Seattle, I'll still never figure out. And I'm convinced that they were better than New England that year. I thought they were the best team in football and they let it go. But I do think that they have wasted, and New Orleans did this a little bit with Breeze for a period of time, and they've dug their way out of it. And I think Green Bay has as well. And so now you're entering kind of a new window here. I think you got another, hopefully 3, 4, 5 years left of Rodgers, and you don't spoil it. But I think both of those squads wasted prime years of two generational quarterbacks in Breeze and Rodgers with bad rosters around them.
Hey, bro, Scranton Strong's back. Our boy. Matt McGloin, you remember him?
Well, I'm not going to say I was paying attention to the XFL draft.
Yeah,
you
were.
I saw some of the XFL draft, including the quarterbacks. A bunch of Beavers got drafted.
I just opened up USA Today, and it's got 5 takeaways from day one of the first XFL draft.
Oh, boy. It was one of those takeaways that I'm not watching this crap?
Well, one of the takeaways is that the Houston Roughnecks, I don't know how they did their draft. It was weird and convoluted. And I didn't try to understand it, so it's probably quite simple, but I don't care enough. But they basically gave the QB1s, the top tier quarterbacks, they assigned them to teams. They weren't in the draft.
Yes.
And Houston Roughnecks were assigned Philip Walker in the assignment phase before the draft, but then they drafted Connor Cook with the number 2 pick.
Former Michigan State Spartan Connor Cook.
Quarterback competition a Bruin. Now, anyway, the XFL is what do they say? Less stall, more ball?
Something along those lines.
I read a thing, and I don't know when they start. Hello? Anyone?
It's after the Super Bowl.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So it's in February?
Yes. Well, February or March. It starts... I know it's after the Super Bowl, but I want to say it might even be the week after the Super Bowl. They're going to go right into this.
Okay. Which is their best chance to succeed.
Yeah. They're trying to just say, hey, you know, you're sad that football's over. No, it's not. Watch this.
But the QB1s were Matt McGloin, Landry Jones, Cardale Jones, Aaron Murray. So those are some names, you know, but most of the people in the draft were not.
Luis Perez, anybody?
Who's that?
I only played at Division II Texas A&M Commerce.
Seattle's quarterback will be Brandon Silvers.
Don't know who that is.
He was slinging it at Troy back in the day.
Okay.
Slinging that wood.
Yeah.
4-year starter. But anyway, I was reading an article that somebody forwarded to us on the tweets, and it was about the NFL and how the NFL, they did a study and added it all up. Every NFL game has at least 100 ads, or on average 100 ads, and they have 11 minutes of ball movement.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that.
So the XFL, their idea is to condense it, like that's what they say, less stall, more ball. Mm-hmm. So they're going to try to capitalize on that.
Okay, but it's still going to be crappy play.
But Scranton Strong.
It's going to be players that aren't very good, and I don't know. You can say all you want that it benefits guys because there's more opportunities to play. I think they said the average salary is going to be, what, 50 grand? So, I mean, I hope it's worth putting your body through all this for 50 grand for, I don't know, the 2 years that it's going to be in existence. And who knows what the insurance is going to be like. It won't work. It just won't work. The level of play is going to be crappy. How many of these do we have to see fail before we stop buying into this?
But hey, McGloin. Okay, so from the Wall Street Journal, real quick, and then we'll break. The 11 minutes of action, you know, that was a Wall Street Journal article a couple years ago. Everybody freaked out about it.
Sure. Like,
in the NFL, you really see 11 minutes of the ball moving per game.
Well, what's the average play? It says like 4.5 or 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the analysis plays a piece.
It also found that an average NFL broadcast spent more time on replays than live play, which is 17 minutes. But I've always said replays, man, that's a fun part of football because everybody is an armchair referee, right? So they're sitting there. It's kind of fun to see, I think that's this or
the
that.
The chaos of what goes on in the field, it's hard to see. But when you get a replay and you're actually able to see what's happening,
adds to the drama.
I'm with you. I think the replay for a lot of people is more enjoyable than the actual live experience.
And then the plurality of time was 75 minutes. I assume that means the rest of the time. But I'm not certain about that.
Nor am I.
I've never heard that word.
So they just say,
make me dumb.
The 75. So
yeah, the rest 75 minutes was spent watching players, coaches, and referees essentially loiter on the field.
Oh, okay.
They added up the amount
huddle
of
huddle and you know.
Yeah, just like sideline shots.
I call that grab ass.
Yeah, I mean, 75 minutes of a 3-hour and 12-minute broadcast is just things like that.
Well, again,
we're observing Tom Brady in his natural habitat.
When the average play only lasts a couple seconds and, you know, you got a play clock in between those things, yeah, there's going to be a lot of downtime.
So those games where they put it on NFL Network, or maybe it's like there's something where they have the condensed 60. Games.
Yeah, everyone
those
does
are
it.
Great.
The NFL does it. College to the Pac-12 does it. Yeah, they give you a game in 60 seconds where you just you go from one play and it cuts right into the next. So you just go snap to snap to snap to snap.
All right, well, go XFL. All right, coming up next, well, at least the Cardinals have this. It is 3:48 on the Fan.
Brian Bulaga.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Jim Brews next. 3:52. Well, the Cardinals and the Nationals play again tonight.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you're saying that because it's 3-0 Nationals.
Yes, and the Cardinals can't hit, and their one chance was Flaherty last night, and that didn't work. So, I mean, this is over. It's just the Nationals versus whoever wins this, and if you're a Yankee fan, you got to be frustrated because Gerrit Cole hasn't pitched that well, and he's got a zero spot.
So the Yankees-Astros game tomorrow is supposed to be rained out. As a matter of fact, or bad weather. I don't know what, I assume rain, but they're saying.
Is there another kind of bad weather?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about that and went, you know.
Is it raining kittens? I don't know.
What are they going to do? It's like a tornado, but no rain or.
I don't think so. I'm guessing that's just probably some
rain. Do you think it's like an ice storm or something? I don't know.
I suppose hailstorm. That would certainly stop a baseball game.
But they're saying they've already told players that they aren't going to play tomorrow. It's not looking good. Yeah. So anyway, the Cardinals and Nationals play tonight. Maybe it will be the end of the Cards, but at least they have this. Did you see that their pitching coach, Mike Maddux, who they often show over there with his little mustache?
Yes.
He, and by the way, it's not a little mustache. That was, he has a great mustache. He has a great mustache and then the little flavor saver.
Well, and the nice part about his mustache is it's not.
It's full.
Well, and it's not. How the best way to put like the strength coach at Oregon obviously has a good mustache, but it's very cheesy. Like it's done like in an ironic sort of look at my handlebar mustache sort of way. Whereas Maddux has more of a Tom Skerritt Top Gun. Hey, this looks good, and I'm an old salty man. Like
yeah,
that's a
totally.
Real mustache.
It's a man's mustache.
Yes, it's not a cheesy fake. I'm growing this to be funny sort of thing.
Little salt and pepper.
Yeah, it's a solid stash.
Did you see that he got 2 hole-in-ones in the same golf round a couple of days ago?
No.
Yeah, that is, by the way, 67 million to 1 odds.
67 million to 1.
Yeah, now, they went and played the Army Navy Country Club in Arlington, Virginia. And the club confirmed that Mike Maddux hit 2 holes-in-1 at their course. This was the 14th. That was Monday.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Now, the odds of hitting a $520 million jackpot in the lottery is about 303 million to one.
Okay.
This 67 million to one.
Yeah, so whatever. You know, people win the lottery all the time. Supposed to be impressed with 1 in 67 million.
But for all of you who don't have a hole in one and you desperately want one, he got two. In the span of about 4 hours.
Well, clearly it's because of the mustache. Now, has he had one before this?
Yeah, he says he's had 5 or 6. He's a really good stick.
I was going to say,
yeah.
5 or 6.
Good player.
I will tell you this. I have never had a hole in one and it doesn't, I don't care.
Yeah, well, you're not an avid golfer. I think the more you golf, like if you really into golf, I think you really want to get one.
Was it? Well,
that's
you,
a big deal.
You had one like on the.
No, I've had two now.
I know, but you had the first one that didn't really count.
Well, no, the first one. No, that's the third one. But we don't talk about that one because that one doesn't count anymore. We talked about this on the show where I was out at that stupid. Well, it's not stupid. It's great.
Yeah.
The little par three at Edgefield.
Love par threes.
And I made one like 67 yards, but it hit off a hill and like, it just was luck. It was stupid. That was a bad. And I said, if I never get another hole in one, then we'll have to count this one, but that doesn't really count. Right.
Yeah.
So then I got one at Langdon on number 6, a couple of years ago in the club championship. And then the other, this past summer, where I got I told you, I'm the only guy who has ever written down three consecutive ones on the scorecard because I got an 11 the hole before I got a hole in one on number three at Langdon.
Kim Jong-un type stuff right there.
So I can now throw away the Edgefield hole in one. No one cares about that. It doesn't even matter. I don't even need to talk about it. I've got two and I'm happy. But I will tell you, the first time you get one, it's a big deal. Like you start it's just awesome. It's awesome. Look, and I'm playing partners like, oh my God, it's just a thing.
Sure.
And then the second time you get one, especially coming off an 11, you go,
Shrug it off. All I'm saying is I play a fair amount of golf. I wouldn't say again, an avid golfer. I'm a fair weather golfer, but I've never once thought, God, how awesome would it be to get a hole in one? And if it never happens, I'm okay with it. It's just not something that, not something that I'm dying to have.
Here's cool a text. Says, know a guy who got a hole in one at Portland Golf Club. His playing partner put one right on top of him with the next swing.
Oh, so then you split the keg?
What are the odds of that?
Oh, and the point, if you're Maddox, the nice part is you only have to buy one keg, right?
What? Why?
Well, you got to buy drinks for everybody. So most people just do like
Of those country clubs already have a pot, you know, like people pay in. So basically what a lot of clubs do is they'll just take money from each member or public. It can just be a men's club.
And that's just for the hole in one.
And you say it's $50 per person. And then, however many holes in ones there are over a certain amount of time, you just either that one person who got that one hole in one gets the pot. Mm-hmm. Or if there were three, you split it three ways.
And that way they buy drinks for everybody.
Well, and
the person gets the money.
So a hole in one, typically at a country club, you're getting something. But if you're at a club where you're not familiar or you don't play it often or they don't have anything going on, that kind of, you're supposed to buy drinks. But I think one thing I saw one time at Royal Oaks was a guy just bought a keg of Coors Light and set it out on the deck, which that's a cost effective way to do it.
Yes.
Some people will go in and buy everyone who is there a drink.
I have been on course two, three times, and I've seen that each time where someone just bought a keg.
Yeah, and that's cheaper.
And it wasn't like a big party keg.
And it's like help yourself.
Like a little pony keg, yeah.
You go up there, hey, I got a hole in one, here's for you. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, when I finished the round, there was out there, and it was like, hey, what's the deal? And someone said, oh, hole in one. Just put it out there.
Now, mine only cost me about $110.
Yeah.
Because I did, and I wanted to buy people drinks. I'm like, hey, man, I got to do this. Let's do this.
Yeah, big deal.
And a lot of people declined, which I thought was weird.
Maybe they're not drinkers.
Well, no, they were drinkers. They just didn't. They're like, no, you don't have to do that.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, come on, man, I won't buy you. And then a lot of people were gone because it was late in the day. So I got lucky.
Yeah, better to do it late, right in the twilight hours.
Yeah. All right, the Jamboree next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.